He was fond of giving gifts to children at Christmas time. He isn't just known for giving gifts. Did you know that God always also worked many miracles and healings through St. Nicholas? He was known back in that day as St. Nicholas the Wonder Worker. People came from all around, and the Lord really used him in powerful ways. He was a human being who kind of sparked all of the gift-giving and Santa and all that stuff. Actually, the gifts go all the way back to the Magi. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But did you know, this was an interesting fact I found out about St. Nicholas. One time he was put in jail for beating up a heretic named Arius, who said Jesus was not God. And these guys were a part of the Council of Nicene. All of this stuff was happening. They were picking the books that were going to be a part of the Bible. And this one guy was just spouting off that Jesus is not God. And St. Nicholas went and beat him up. And was thrown in jail. Constantine became the emperor of the Roman Empire. And in 312 AD, he became a Christian. And if you've ever studied church history, he made it mandatory that everybody be a Christian, which is probably not a great idea, because somebody's going to rebel against that. But Christmas became more special, I think, more celebrated by the people, and especially at that time in the Roman Empire. And the custom of giving gifts at Christmas time really, really grew at that time. But this custom goes all the way back to the Magi, who came and, you know, I don't want to mess with this too much. Like, this nativity scene is awesome. I love it. But probably the wise men didn't get there for a couple of years, because the Bible says that Mary and Joseph were in a house when the wise men got there. Jesus was probably a toddler. Something really powerful that took place was when the Magi got there. And if you read this, I believe it's best described in Matthew chapter 2, where the Bible uses a Greek word, and it means they walked into the house, they were rejoicing with exceeding joy, but the Greek word says that they violently threw themselves down at his feet, because they were there to worship him. And they brought him gifts. So we all know what the three gifts are: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I want to spend the next few moments exploring these three excellent gifts. Point number one of my little message today is, bring him your heart. Because the Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's Matthew 6:21. So the gift of gold represents Jesus as the king and is a gift identifying his perfect reign over the church and the world. And Jesus has always been the king, even at birth, and he continues to rule today, and he will always rule with the Father over all of creation. And where his rule is, there is peace. Because why? Because, as Aretha brought it to us this morning from the scriptures, Isaiah chapter 9, he is the Prince of Peace. So today, if you let Jesus rule in your heart, you're going to experience peace that passes all understanding. You'll experience peace with God, peace like you can never find anywhere in this world. Now, I think another great aspect of the gold being brought to Jesus is found, again, in Matthew chapter 6. Verse 24 tells us that no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money, or mammon. Mammon is a spirit attached to money, and that spirit is what makes money talk. Does your money talk? I know mine does. It always is saying, bye. See ya. But listen, if you don't think money talks, I'm about to invite all of you to give in an offering. Okay? You hear him? You hear mammon right now? Oh, good grief. Stinking greedy pastor, all he wants is our money. I knew it. Oh, wait a minute. I've got a dollar bill in my pocket. Awesome. Now I don't have to give that 20 that I've got in there. Am I making this up? Haven't you heard the voice of Mammon countless times when it's time to receive an offering? Listen, friends, there's only one way to overcome Mammon, and that's to let him know who you serve. And how you do that, amen, is when you tithe. That's 10% of your income. Tithe means a tenth. When you tithe, you are proving to Mammon he holds no sway over you because Jesus is your true master. One will never become a generous giver like Jesus until A, as a tither, you remove Mammon's stronghold over your money. And when you do that, what happens? You make sure that the 90% you have left is now under the blessing and umbrella and covering of God. And it's going to go way further than that 100% would. And there are so many people here today that can let you know how that's worked in their lives. It's so true. And then B, understand Luke 16:9, which says to us, and here's the lesson, use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then, when your earthly possessions are gone, you'll be welcomed into an eternal home. Do you know what that means? This is exactly what that means. That one day, because of your giving, you are going to get to heaven and you are going to be meeting a line of people that are waiting just to meet you because you gave so the missionary could go and tell them about Jesus so that their hearts could be open and they could receive Christ the way you did, and they make heaven their eternal home. And all of that because we broke the spirit of Mammon over ourselves, over our lives, over being selfish, and we learned how to generously give to the kingdom of God. Now, the second point today is I want you to bring him your friendship. The gift of frankincense, or just incense, is what's used in the altars to represent the prayers of those who believe in Jesus Christ. We pray not simply out of desperation or selfishness. No, we pray because we enjoy talking with the Creator of the universe as if He was our closest friend. Because He really is. You know, when I was in the eighth grade, about 100 years ago, I had this moment in my walk with Christ. I was walking with the Lord at that time. I loved the Lord. Junior high is such a squirrely place. And it just came to me that what I should be doing is communing with the Lord at all times. So have you ever seen anybody old enough to remember Jimmy Stewart, not the real Jimmy Stewart. We have the real Jimmy Stewart here in our church. But the actor, Jimmy Stewart, and he had a 6-foot-tall rabbit named Harvey that was his constant companion. And he'd go around talking to him all the time. And back then, when you saw somebody just talking and there was nobody they were talking to, that was weird. Today, that's normal. I hope people are on the phone. Sometimes they're not. They're just out there talking. But he would walk around, and Harvey was real as rain. He was a real 6-foot-tall rabbit, and he was like Jimmy Stewart, the character that Jimmy played. He was his best friend. Well, I just decided to develop that into my life, that Jesus is with me always. And so I just kind of walked around junior high as if the Lord were right there walking with me. If I was in a room and I'd sit in a chair, I'd try my best to pull a chair over so that the Lord could sit there. And I remember one time somebody came in, they were going to sit in the chair. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, that chair, somebody's already sitting there. Yeah, I know you can't see him, but that's where Jesus is sitting right now. So really kind of strange, but absolutely real to an eighth grade boy who wanted to commune with the Creator of the entire universe. Frankincense represents Jesus Christ as the perfect high priest. We offer sweet fragrance. It rises from our prayers, grateful, from grateful hearts, so grateful because Jesus offered up himself in order for us to be able to have peace with God. Now, we live today in a state of gratitude because Jesus willingly gave his own life and he died on the cross for us to have full forgiveness with God because of all of our sins. The high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. He would carry the prayers and hopes of the people. They were hoping that their sins would be forgiven for that year, that there would be great atonement. Jesus not only continues to carry our prayers to the Father, since he sits at the Father's right hand, interceding on our behalf, but he himself, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus himself became our atonement by shedding his blood when he died on the cross. And our high priest not only took our place in death, but he lives as our continual high priest who prays to the Father for each and every one of us. He's at the right hand of the Father right now, praying for you, praying for me, and he's a sympathetic high priest. He knows all of the hurt. He knows all of the brokenness that we all are experiencing. When he was here on the earth, he experienced pain, hunger, thirst, but he wasn't broken. But he understands our brokenness, and he's more sympathetic to us in our needs and losses than anyone else ever could be. Jesus Christ will always be our high priest, and as our high priest, he will make it so that we will actually be living without any sin, blame, guilt throughout the rest of all of eternity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that that's really true. So as our high priest, we can bring all of our hurts, all of our pains, all of our brokenness to him, and he will heal us. Point number three, bring him yourself. So number one, the gold represents bring him your heart. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Point number two, bring him your friendship. Commune with him in prayer. Get to know him. Point number three, bring him yourself. Myrrh is a burial spice and a gift that foretells that Jesus was going to die for the sins of the entire world. Probably a crazy gift for Mary to look at and think, oh, wow, that's an ointment for burial. So, out of all the great human kings who have ever lived, I want you to really think about this. There's only one king who ever gave his life on behalf of his people. Jesus the King, Jesus the High Priest, came to die on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins and have salvation. He was buried in an unfinished tomb, and probably Mary Magdalene and the ladies that the circle she ran with, they probably tried to get in there into the tomb and anoint his body with myrrh while his body was laying there in the tomb. But she didn't get very far. She had to stop, actually, if she even did get started, because the Sabbath came very, very quickly. And honestly, Jesus didn't need that stuff that serves a similar purpose to embalming fluid. If you were going to anoint the body of Jesus after he hung on the cross, I'm pretty sure that they wanted so much to get in there and anoint his wounds, the wounds from his head, his feet, his hands, his back. But when they came back on Sunday to finish covering the body with myrrh and other sweet fragrances, he wasn't there. He had already risen from the dead, and he never needed myrrh to offset any decay in his body because there wasn't any decay. He rose from the dead in a brand new resurrected body of perfection, one just like he's going to give to you and me one day. It's even more perfect because he has wounds on his head where the crown of thorns was placed, wounds in his hands, wounds in his feet, and a wound on his side where he was pierced by the sword of the centurion. And all of that fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, that says, Jesus Christ was pierced for our transgressions. And as our resurrected high priest, Jesus will also give to us a perfect resurrected body when he either raises us from the dead or transforms us at the rapture of the church that'll happen in the twinkling of an eye when the trumpet sounds and the Lord comes to bring his church to live with him forever. Now, there are three wonderful gifts of the Magi, the gifts that we should continue to bring to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Bring your heart, bring your friendship, bring yourself. But there's an even greater Christmas gift that has been given, and it's been given to anyone who will receive it. The greatest Christmas gift is the gift of the Father to us, of his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. So what's beautiful about that is the next verse. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus came, he was born as a baby, he grew into being a man, he lived a sinless life, he went to the cross as our substitute, took our place because we deserve to die because of our sins, and he became the greatest Christmas gift ever. It's so special, it's so wonderful when you are able to give any Christmas present, because it's coming from a heart of love. And it's easier to give than it is to receive. It's so humbling to receive. But especially when it comes from somebody that you know loves you, maybe they had to sacrifice a little bit to give that gift. That's the love of the Father. That's what Jesus became. That's what the Father gave to us through his only begotten Son. No one ever on earth has loved you that much. The absolute, infinite, agape love of God is eternal, and it will never diminish, and it will never wane, and it belongs to anyone here today willing to open up your heart and receive that marvelous gift. Will you bow your heads with me right now? Close your eyes. Just kind of get alone with your own thoughts. It's so